And Cedar Shoals. I hope you've had a great week. I want to run through your packet of information for you here for just a moment. You have your tithing envelope. And then you have your songs. In the last two pages there, you have a prayer walk for you and your family to do this week. For a time of just you and your family spending together in a prayer walk. There's different things as you see that you're able to pray for, and it tells you what to pray for. So use that this week and an opportunity to just pray and seek the Lord this week. My outline for the message is on the back page this morning. And there's something I'm really excited about I want us to kind of look at for a moment as we go through it today. I want you to know many of you may not know what all's been going on during our coronavirus outbreak that we've been in, but I do want you to know, I want you to see this. I've got this on your front page of your handouts today. We've done already a food drive for Miracle Hill. We've taken food to Miracle Hill Boys Home and Taylors, $550 of them. We took food to Miracle Hill's Children's Home in Pickens, $550 worth of food to them. We also took pillows, washcloths, and towels to Miracle Hill Children's Home in Pickens. We've got three of our ladies who are making masks. So far, they've made over 400 masks. And I wrote some of the places they're going to. Some of the people in our community, nurses, local businesses, and Med Hospital over in Anderson. Also, the outpatient centers, home health nurses and nursing companies, home health physical therapists and therapy companies. And also to the homeless veterans, our ladies took on Thursday night or Friday night, some over to them. And now our ladies are still making more masks. We've got three of them working as hard as they can. Dottie Smith, Peggy Reed, and then Michelle Mickle working as hard as they can, making masks, getting those out to those who are in need of them. Also, this Tuesday, we're going to be feeding 40 of the frontline workers in a coronavirus fight at the Greenville Convention Center Tuesday afternoon at 11:30. We'll be feeding them. And then also on Thursday night, we're going to be feeding the homeless veterans there in Greenville. So there's some awesome things that are going on. And then I want to mention one more thing that I'm excited that we're going to be doing. We are starting a food pantry. During this time of coronavirus, there's such a need in our community for those who are in need of food. And so I've given you some items there, items for a family bag, items for children bag. If you'd like to be a part of this and help out, you are welcome to bring some of these items starting next Sunday. Or if you'd rather just give some money, you're welcome to do that, and we'll go and purchase all that needs to be purchased. In May, we will be having a Saturday when we open up the church parking lot here. We'll have tables set up outside with food bags on them, and we'll be giving food out to those in our community who are in need. So if you know someone who is in need of food, let me know. Or if you are in need of food, please let me know. We would like to be a help during this time and be able to reach out and minister to you and your family and those in our community to let them know that we love them, that we care about them, and we're here to try to help in any way that we can to meet the needs during this time that we can. God has been so gracious and so great to us during this time of coronavirus, and it's just been amazing to watch what God has done. And so this morning, I want to give you a few prayer requests, and then I want us to go to God, and I just want us to say thank you to a holy God this morning for all that he is doing. Remember Claire Medlock. Continue to pray for Claire. She has not been doing good for a while, and we're just asking you to lift her up. Joyce Medlock, remember her in your prayers. Also remember Clementina Campbell in your prayers. And then also remember Mike Hall. Mike's stress test come out good. They're only going to treat it with medicine, and so what a praise report that truly is. And so no surgeries were needed, no stents were needed. And so thank you so much for praying for him and the others on our prayer list. This morning, let's go to God as we begin our service this morning. Father God, what an honor and a privilege it is, Lord, to have the privilege to be able to come to your house this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're such an awesome God. And Lord, that you, even in the middle of horrible times in our society, Father, even in the midst of struggles and pain and issues that are going on, Almighty God is still on the throne. Almighty God is working. Almighty God is moving in mighty ways. Father, we're hearing reports all over the nation, Lord, during this time where more people are coming to know Christ from churches during this time that they have come to know Christ in decades, Lord. Father, what an awesome blessing and privilege it is, Lord, as churches have stepped out of the building, Father. Father, this building is not who we're supposed to be as Christians. Christians are supposed to be out in this communication and community, saturating this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing who he truly is in a world that is lost and hurting and struggling without him. And Father, during this coronavirus, you have made us go out of our buildings and go into our communities, Father. Thank you so much. Father, I pray, Lord, that during this time that we will move in an exceeding great ways with you, Lord. Father, I do pray for our prayer list, Lord. I pray your hands be upon each and every one of them. Meeting those needs that are in their lives, Lord, strengthen them today. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just move like never before in this coming days. Thank you for all you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time, we'll turn it over to Tracy and our praise team. Take your songs out with us this morning. And I want you to worship with us this morning as we sing today praises unto him.
Good morning. It's so good to be here with you all this morning. We're going to start off with one that the choir sings a good bit. Pardon? Here we go.
I want to be close to your side. Heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy. God Almighty, great I am.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and do our offertory hymn. We've picked a couple of good ones that you'll recognize real well. Miss Debbie.
Christ the
this morning to worship our Lord and our Savior. This time we want to have our ushers come forward, and we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we just humbly bow before you. Father, in the quietness and the stillness of this moment, Father, we just thank you. Father, we thank you for your awesome blessing that you pour out upon us. Father, for your love and your mercy, your grace, even in the midst of times when we fail and we struggle and we fall. That Almighty God is a God who loves us and is always there no matter what goes on in our life. Father, what a praise that truly is today. Father, even when our world is going crazy over the virus and all that's going on, Lord, and the loss of life and all of those that have been sick and infected by the virus, Lord. Lord, you're not going wild in any way. You're not running ragged, Lord. Lord, this hasn't caught you off guard. Lord, it may have caught us off guard and it may have devastated many areas of our life, Lord. But Father, today you're in control, Lord, and we know that. But we serve a risen Savior who is in control of all things. Lord, this hadn't caught God off guard. Lord God, you knew what was going on and you knew what was going to happen. And Father, you allowed it in this time for a purpose. And Lord, you had a perfect and awesome plan for this moment. And Father, during this time, Lord, we have seen more come to know you, Lord, in a short time. Lord, we're seeing people turn to you. Lord, we're seeing people who have never had any interest in God now beginning to ask questions and beginning to want to find out answers, Lord, about who you truly are. Father, I really believe, Lord, you're beginning to bring about a great awakening in our society again. Lord, to awaken those to their condition of being lost and without you. And Father, about bringing a great revival into those who are saved, Lord, who today need to be set on fire by you again. Father, I pray you would set us on fire today. Father, I pray you'd become that consuming fire inside of us that changes everything radically about us. And Lord, it causes us to move forward in you like never before. Father, bless this offering, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord, and for the work and the ministry that's going on right here in your church, Lord, to reach others for Jesus Christ, to meet needs in our community and in our state, Lord, during this time. And Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for just your hand of movement and your protection, your provision. Lord, use this offering. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to do one more worship song before Pastor Shane comes. This one is actually one of Pastor Shane's favorite ones. He introduced this one to us a few months ago. This one talks about the shepherd. He leaves the 99 to search out that one who's fallen away. Maybe our world has fallen away a little bit. And so the shepherd is bringing us back, bringing us all back to the fold. Join us as we sing Reckless Love. What a beautiful day God's given us this morning.
Down.
To Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Last week we began our new series in What's Next. We looked there in John chapter 20 last week in 21 and began a process of looking at the new ministry of Jesus after his resurrection, in essence, of the new ministry in essence that he was having with his disciples. And today we want to look at the Lord's provision out of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 this morning. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach unto the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering or his crucifixion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them, he commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, can you imagine the disciples in this moment? Man, they're standing there. Jesus is talking to them. And really, in essence, he shares, again, the great commission with them there in verse number 8, where he tells them they would start in Jerusalem and go to Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. And they would be the force for him that would take this world by storm and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while he says that, and when he finishes saying that, all of a sudden he begins to lift off the ground, and he begins to ascend into heaven. Can you imagine what they're seeing in this moment as they're standing there looking up at him and watching him go into the clouds into heaven? And all of a sudden, there's two beside them in white apparel, the angels of the Lord, in essence, standing there beside them, and they're saying, why are you looking up and waiting for him and wondering what's going on? The same one who told you he would come back is the same one who is rising, so one day he will come back for you. What a scene we see unfold in this moment. Here Luke is writing to Theophilus, a friend of his, and really a high-ranking Roman official in this day. And apparently he was even a follower of Jesus Christ. And Luke here starts the book of Acts out by reminding Theophilus of the book of Luke that he had written, the gospel he had written, where Luke begins to share the whole gospel message throughout the words of Luke, in the book of Luke there. He covers the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now he was reminding Theophilus, the other disciples, and all disciples who would follow Jesus from that moment on, he is reminding them of who Jesus truly is, what Jesus did while he was here on earth, and who Jesus is will be coming back one day for his children. This passage shows us three areas of life that believers were going to be inadequate in their walk to be able to do what Jesus had called us to do. So even in this moment, as Jesus is leaving us, he is preparing the disciples. He is pouring into them again, and he is making provision in their life and in our life to know that how we can fight the fight for him and do what he has called us to do in the days to come. So the first thing I want you to see this morning is Jesus provided them proof of the resurrection. Luke here in verse number 3, he says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It would be important that they had no doubts about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is one of the most important things that we need to understand today, that if Jesus did not raise from the dead, if he did not rise from the grave, there is no Christianity. There is no Savior. There is no hope for us in the days to come, that we are going to suffer the fate and we will die in a grave. And when we die in that grave, there will be no hope for us and we will end up in hell without a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who gave his life on Calvary. Luke wanted to make sure that we knew without a shadow of a doubt, there was no doubt that Jesus had rose from the dead. We need to understand that this morning. There must be no doubt in our walk today that Jesus is alive and seated at the right hand of the Father this morning, interceding on my behalf and on your behalf today. Because if Jesus is dead and still in a grave, we are lost without him and have no hope of salvation or heaven without Jesus Christ. We must understand that where we stand today without Jesus, we are lost without him. But with Jesus, alive today, the central figure of Christianity, the central figure of our faith, the author and finisher of our faith, the Word of God says, we have hope in Jesus today. And he made that provision for me and you, for salvation, for faith, and for hope in heaven one day. Without the resurrection, there's no Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus covers every question that there could ever be. Every doubt that there could ever be is answered that Jesus is alive today. The proof is infallible. Here in verse number 3, he really talks about this. During the 40 days before his ascension to heaven, over 500 people saw Jesus on earth during that 40 days. Actually, it's about 516 people who saw Jesus on earth during that time. So Jesus gave infallible proof that he was alive, that he was well, that he was walking, talking, eating, being there with the people of that day, that they saw him in that time. They knew without a shadow of a doubt Jesus was alive. The word proofs here means positive proof or convincing proof. Jesus was giving sure sign of his resurrection. He was given certainty that no longer was he dead, but certainty that he was alive and well with them during that 40 days. These infallible positive proofs and appearances went on for 40 days. All 40 days, Jesus was given that infallible proof, that certain proof that he was alive and well to all who saw him. And he was given that convincing proof to them that they needed to fight and walk and do all that he had called them to do in the coming days. The followers were so convinced that they became an irresistible force for Jesus Christ. Man, the end of verse number 3 there says they began to speak all these things to everyone they came in contact with, in essence. They knew Jesus was alive and coming back one day for them, and they could not stop telling people about Jesus Christ. They could not stop telling others about who he was and about what he had done. They could not stop telling others about the change that he had made in their lives and the awesome change he wanted to make in their lives also. Did not matter if they were persecuted, they were put in prison, or if they were running for their life or even killed for their walk in Jesus, they shared Jesus with everyone. When we are convinced that Jesus is who he said he is and that he rose from the grave, nothing will stop us from sharing Jesus with everyone we come in contact with today. I want you to know that when me and you were truly convinced Jesus Christ is the Son of Almighty God in the flesh, that he was the Savior who came for me and you, that he died and he rose again, we will go tell everyone about Jesus Christ and about what he has done in our life to save us and change us, and we want everyone to know who Jesus is today. When we're convinced of who he is, we will share him with everyone. Can I ask you today? Are you sharing Jesus with every person you come in contact with? Are you telling everyone about Jesus Christ? Or are you a part of the 98% of those who claim to be evangelical Christians who are not sharing the gospel and will not share the gospel one time in their life with anyone else? Or today are you part of the 2% who is sharing Jesus with everyone, who is making a difference in the lives and the hope of people today that do not know Jesus, that you're sharing the hope today with them, that they may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late? Secondly, Jesus provided the power to carry out their assignment. In Acts 1 verse 8, their assignment was clear that Jesus gave to them. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. How could these 11 men at this time, 11 disciples of Jesus at this moment, change and reach the world for Jesus Christ? There was no way they could do it on their own. They didn't have the strength, they didn't have the power, they didn't have the knowledge in this moment to reach a world for Jesus on their own. So Jesus does not leave them by themselves in this moment. Jesus tells them that he is going to provide the power for them, that the power was going to come, that power would be the Holy Spirit, and he would indwell in them, and that he would use them and strengthen them and equip them to do the job that was ahead of them. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, we see a beautiful passage unfold. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Man, what a beautiful picture we see unfold. They're sitting there in the house, and the Spirit of God begins to descend down, and he begins to fill them in a mighty way. And they are empowered, they were emboldened to go and share, to be the men of God that God had called them to be, that would reach a world for Jesus Christ that was lost and dying without hope, that they would reach them for Jesus, where they would have hope and salvation and faith through him. Jesus provided all that they needed in this moment. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in them so they could live out the Christian life and walk and do what he had called them to do, to reach all people for Jesus Christ. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to equip them to handle the tough times that they would face in the days to come. Now, I understand they had tough times that they dealt with. They were persecuted. Most of the disciples were murdered and killed and martyred for the faith in Jesus Christ. They gave their life for Jesus. They faced tough times. They were in prison. They were persecuted. They were hurt for Jesus. But nothing stopped them from sharing Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world in that day. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower them to change the world. I want you to know they were emboldened and empowered by the Spirit of God that they went out and reached everybody they could reach for Jesus Christ. There was no exception. There was no person that they left out. They went to everyone because all people need Jesus today. You ought to say amen to that. All people need Jesus today. This is my assignment and your assignment. We are to reach other people for Jesus Christ. Our Jerusalem here is Possum Kingdom. Possum Kingdom, this community is our Jerusalem. That's our home. Then we ought to go to Williamson and Belton and Greenville. Then we ought to go to South Carolina as a whole. Then we ought to go to the United States. Then we ought to be going at the same time. If we're doing all of this, we ought to be going to the uttermost parts of the world. This verse is not saying start at home and then go each place as you go. It's saying do them all at the same time when you study this verse. As children of God, we should be reaching the whole world at the same time, not just one place at a time. We ought to be impacting the world for Jesus today. But me and you can't do it by ourselves. This is why the Holy Spirit dwells in us, equips us, and empowers us to reach others for Jesus Christ today. The Holy Spirit helps us live the Christian walk in life every day. I want you to know if you try to live the Christian walk, it's going to be a hard life. It's going to be a hard walk. You're going to be persecuted. There's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. You're going to have trials and temptations and struggles in your life. And the Holy Spirit indwells us, empowers us, and equips us to face the challenges and the problems we face every single day. He equips us to be able to do that. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit today to equip you? Are you allowing Him to equip you to do and to reach other people for Jesus Christ? And lastly, Jesus provided the confidence that He would return and there was a home in heaven waiting for them. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, He says this, "Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." This confidence in heaven would cause the disciples to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. They had a fearlessness in them to them because of the Spirit of God, because of what they knew was true. They went fearlessly sharing that with everyone. They showed everyone that gospel, that message of Jesus Christ. For Christians, there is a home waiting for me and you. If you are a saved child of God and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're His child today, there is a home waiting for you one day. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus had given them the promise that when He left them, He would come back one day for them. And so they had an assurance in this moment when Jesus ascended from the ground and ascended to heaven in that moment. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming for them again. There was a home that He had prepared for them in heaven, and they could not wait but go serve Jesus until He came back. They were fearless in their service to Jesus Christ. Can I ask you today, are you fearless for Jesus? Or are me and you wimped out for Jesus today? Are we being fearless and telling everyone, no matter what persecution or problem comes our way? Or this morning, have we wimped out and are we children who are running from Almighty God, running from the lost? Or are we children that are running to the lost with a message of hope and salvation through Jesus Christ today? I want you to know this is not my home. This is not my home here in South Carolina. My home is waiting for me in heaven one day. Why? Because when I was a little child, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I took my hope out of my hands and I put my hope in Him and Him alone. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me and forgive me for what I had done. And the Spirit of God in that moment came into my life. He began to dwell in me. He empowers me, He equips me, and He fills me with the Spirit of Almighty God in that moment of salvation. Our home is in heaven. This should cause me and you to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ today, knowing our real home is waiting for me and you. Man, no matter what happens here on earth, no matter how good or bad it is, it will never compare to heaven that we'll be in one day with Him walking the streets of gold, seeing our Savior face to face, seeing Almighty God, bowing before a holy Savior, and worshiping the one who gave his life for me and you. This infallible proof of Jesus' resurrection, the power for daily living, and the promise of a future with Jesus in heaven enables me and you, the believer, to live victoriously in a fallen and lost world today. In a world that will persecute us, in a world that will try to hurt us. For those who know Jesus, we have a fearlessness because of who He is in us, the Spirit dwelling in us. We can fight the good fight and win the battle with Jesus. This provision that was given to Paul is why Paul had the confidence expressed in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. He says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearance. I want you to know today, Paul wrote with an assurance. He wrote with a fearlessness that Jesus was his all. He was his all in all because the Spirit of God was dwelling and empowering him and equipping him to do what God called him to do, to reach others for Jesus Christ. When me and you live in that fearlessness and that fearfulness with God, and we walk in that awesome fearlessness of Almighty God, and we walk in that faith of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear what happens to us here on this earth. If I give my life in service for Jesus today, my home is waiting for me tonight. Woo! I want you to know that ought to give us hope that no matter what happens here on earth, the best is still waiting to come. I hear football coaches all the time. I heard Dabo Swinney say it this week. The best is yet to come. I want you to know for Christians, the best is yet to come. Woo! One day, Jesus will come back for his children, and we will take off on our heavenly flight to be with him forever. That's the hope we walk in today. That's the salvation through faith in Jesus, that we have the grace and the hope in him, that one day we will never be in this world again. We will be with him forevermore. And that ought to be how we walk every single day in him, with a hope and an expectation that Jesus will come back today. Are you walking in that kind of a hope that Jesus will come back today? Or are you sitting there saying, well, Lord, give me another couple days. I'm not ready right now. Can I tell you, the Word of God says Jesus will come back like a thief in the night. Some are going to be doing some things when Jesus comes back that they're not proud that they're doing in that moment. They're going to be caught in sin. They're going to be caught in other things they shouldn't be caught in. And in that moment, they're going to be embarrassed before a holy Savior who gave his life on Calvary for them, because they are not the child of God he's called them to be. Because they are not being the child of God he has asked them and he has indwelled them with the Spirit of God to be. This morning, my invitation is simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation, the Word of God says. Will you turn your life and your heart and everything over to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and to save you and change you? Or this morning, will you reject him and his free gift that he offers to you through salvation and faith in him? If you're here this morning, you would say, Shane, I want to humble myself before him, and I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me this morning. I'm going to pray a simple prayer this morning. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to pray it to yourself this morning. I'm going to ask you to cry out to Almighty God and ask him to save you through faith in Jesus Christ this morning. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that means I've done things, Lord, that are wrong, that are against what Almighty God says is right and wrong. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart this morning and save me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, Lord. I ask you from this moment forward to be the Savior and Lord of my life. That means you will direct me in everything that I do. You'll lead me and guide me in all that I am. And Father, I will do as you ask me to do. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you after we get done, I'm going to ask you to come to me. Or I'm going to ask you to call me or text me this week and let me know that you asked Jesus into your heart for the very first time. We want to celebrate that with you today. But maybe you're here and maybe you're like me. You're a child of God. You're saved. You know you're saved. But maybe today you're not being the child of God he's called you to be. And today is the day that he's calling you to be fearless for him, to serve him, knowing that he has something better waiting for you, and that's called heaven. If you were here today and you would say, Shane, that's me, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. If you say, Shane, I want to be that child of God. I want to be like the disciples. I want to be like Paul this morning. I want to be that one who serves him no matter what comes my way. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray this simple prayer with me this morning. Bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Lord, help me to be the child of God, be the man of God and the woman of God you have called me to be. Help me to be the Christian that this world needs to see. Help me to be the lighthouse that penetrates the darkness of this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, help me. Help me stand boldly for you. Help me to proclaim you no matter what persecution, no matter what problem comes my way. Help me with the provisions that you have made for me and given to me. Help me to fearlessly walk for you every day of every moment of my life, Lord. Lord, knowing that the best is yet to come, that one day I'll be with you in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let me know. I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know this morning that there are some things I want to share with you about what's going to happen in the days to come before we leave. Many of you are asking the question, what's going to happen, Shane, when we begin to go back to the sanctuary? When are we going back to the sanctuary? Well, I can tell you with full assurance, we won't be back in the sanctuary before the 1st of June. We won't be back in the building until at least then. And when we do go into the building, we're going to be very cautious. There will be no shaking hands. There will be no hugging necks. Why? Because this coronavirus is still going to be around. They're not worried about the outbreak of the coronavirus right now. What they're worried about is the one that's coming in the fall because of the cold weather and how much worse it's going to be in that time. So we're going to be protective of our people. We're going to be protective of each and every one of you because we love you. And we want to make sure your safety is important to us. And we want to make sure you're all right. And so we're going to make some adjustments. When we first go back in a sanctuary, we will just have a worship service. We won't have Sunday school at the beginning. We can't put 20 people in one room by themselves, a little small room. We just can't do it. We've got to look at the social distancing. I've already been in meetings with the governor, with the Attorney General of our state. Already been in meetings with South Carolina Baptist officials, with Greenville Baptist Association officials, with other officials in the nation already through the Southern Baptist Convention. And we are going to have to be very cautious in these coming days. And so I want you to know we're going to do everything that we can do to protect you because we love you. And yes, that's going to make some inconveniences on all of us. But it's for our safety and for your safety and because we love you. Now, hopefully next Sunday, you're going to see a new platform right here that comes out where I'll be standing from now on. So hopefully everybody can begin to see me when I'm preaching and when I'm up front, all right? So we're going to have our men out here this week. We're going to have our building grounds ministry out here, our properties team. We're going to have other men out here. We're going to be building a platform so that we can begin to even minister even more on Sunday morning to you and that you may be able to see what all is going on, hopefully. Church, I want you to know we love you. We love you. And the reason we've done these things is because we want to make sure you're safe. My hope and desire is no one in our church will get the coronavirus. No one who is faithful in our church and faithful in their attendance will get this virus. That is what I'm praying every day. Because we want you to be safe. We love you. But I want you to know the ministry of Cedar Shoals Baptist Church has not stopped during this time. Cedar Shoals and our ladies and our workers are striving now to do more than we've ever done before. We're striving now to make new inroads in our community to reach more people than we've ever reached before in the history of this church in 135 plus years this church has been here. And today is the day that God has given us to do something awesome, to reach people for Jesus Christ like never before. And as your pastor, I'm calling you, the people of Cedar Shoals and of this community, to step up also. I'm asking you because I love you and because I want to see you fulfill what God has for you in your life. I'm asking you to become more faithful than you've ever become in your life with Him. Spend more time in your walk with Him than you've ever spent with Him before. I'm asking you today to turn closer to Him. The Word of God says, seek Him and you shall find Him when you seek Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, everything you've got. I'm asking you right now to seek Jesus, to seek Almighty God with everything you have. Why? Because when this ends with this coronavirus, God has already opened doors that we need to run through, not try to walk through, not try to fuss through. Let's see. Well, I don't know if God wants that done. We need to go in full wholeheartedly through what God has told us to do. I don't care who stands in the way. You're going to get run over. So get on board with us and walk freely with Almighty God in the days to come. All right? We want to be what God wants us to be. We want to be what God wants us to be in the days to come. This church needs to be what God wants it to be for this community as a lighthouse in the darkness of this world that reaches people for Jesus. And that means every person in our church better get on board what Jesus wants done. We all must get on board what God wants to be done. God's whole will, He just told us in His Word what He wants us to do. He wants us to go everywhere and reach everybody for Jesus. That's clear. There's no debate on what He's asked us to do and told us to do. We got to be ready when our doors are opened again to be on job and on point for Jesus Christ. And while we're in this interim time, we must be actively in our community reaching people and sharing with people and inviting people in. I want to encourage you, invite somebody to come with you next Sunday. Some of you got family members who aren't here. Some of you got neighbors who aren't in church this morning. Some of you got co-workers that aren't in church. This is an opportunity for you to reach them in a time and a point when they're looking for hope, when they're looking for someone to reach out to them. You're the hope of this world through Jesus Christ. Will you be the lighthouse during this time? Guys, I love you. Man, I'm so proud to be your pastor, and I'm privileged to do it. But God's got something incredibly waiting for us in the days to come. And we as a church family, we've got to get on board. And we've got to start walking fully in all that Jesus has for us. And all that God is calling us to do. This community needs Jesus more than it's ever needed Jesus before. This state needs Jesus more than it's ever needed Jesus before. This nation needs Jesus more than it's ever needed Jesus before. This world needs Jesus today more than it's ever needed Jesus before. And that's going to mean that some changes are going to have to be made. That some people are going to have to get out of their comfort zone and become uncomfortable with Jesus Christ. Become uncomfortable in the service of Almighty God. That means Cedar Shoals is going to have to become uncomfortable out of our routine as we serve Jesus wholeheartedly today. I love you. This week I've included in your packet a prayer walk for you and your family to do. I hope this week you'll take the opportunity to walk with your family and the prayer walk around your house or your community to pray for the lost, to pray for your neighbors, to pray for those who are hurting during this time, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us to be your children in this time. Father, for such a time as this is what you've called us for. Father, help us to boldly stand forward, fearlessly to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring hope and grace and mercy and salvation and forgiveness to a lost and dying world that's standing in need of hope today. Father, help us be the children of God you call us to be. Father, I thank you for each and every one in this church, Lord. Lord, I pray your hands be upon them, each and every one of them is here today. Lord, I ask you to use them in mighty ways. I ask you to multiply in their walk and in their life today. I ask you to pour out a rich blessing upon them as only Almighty God can. And Lord, as you bless them, I pray they would bless somebody else in a mighty way. Father, we're going to begin a food pantry. And Father, we're going to be needing some items. The items are on their paper today, Lord, the different items we're going to be giving out to meet needs right here in our own community. Father, I pray if you burden their heart, if you laid on their heart to bring something, then next Sunday they would bring it. Father, if you burden on their heart, Lord, to give money, I pray they would bring it next Sunday and give it. Lord, that we may be able to meet the great needs that are in our community today. And Father, if we know of someone who is hurting, someone who is in need of food, whether it be ourselves or someone else, Lord, in our community, may we let someone know today. Father, may they let me know the need of someone in their life today. That we as a church, as instruments of your hands, as your lighthouse, reach them today and meet the very need of their life. Father, thank you for today. Father, we've had a great day in you. Father, we're looking for even better days in the days to come. Thank you for loving us. Keep us safe as we depart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless each of you. I love you.